Hello, everyone. You're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 183 for July 17th, 2011. In this week's podcast, Pastor Archie will be sharing his message titled Needing Christ. Enjoy.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand up together. Let's go to the Word of God. And our text is found in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. I would like to speak on a topic this morning, needing Christ. Do you need Christ?
Amen.
Do you need God?
Amen.
Is He your life? Is He everything to you?
Amen.
Do you want to have an intimate relationship with Him? Amen. All right. John chapter 15 is starting with verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear fruit, much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Again, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time of praising and worshiping you, Lord, through songs. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, oh God, I pray that you will teach us. Teach us, oh God. Give us revelation knowledge of who you are in our lives. Revelation our knowledge of our need of you more than ever before. And I pray for your anointing upon your people, upon your servant, Lord, that you will just draw us closer and closer, closer to you. We want to abide in your presence day by day, oh God, to have that intimate relationship, oh Father, knowing, Lord, that when we do that, oh God, you will supply all of our needs, oh Father. You will make us more fruitful, oh Father, and we pray, and you will answer our prayers. Again, Lord, we commit this time, oh Father, preaching your word. Oh God, bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. Hallelujah. Needing Christ. I heard about a man eating in the restaurant one evening when he noticed that a couple nearby at a nearby table as they were eating dessert. Each time the woman took a bite of her dessert, how do you say it? Dessert or dessert? Huh? Rather, all right. Because my kids always correct me, you know? Anyway, whenever the woman took a bite of her dessert, there was a look of delight and satisfaction over her face. But on the other hand, the husband, the man, all right, as he ate his dessert, his face reflected disgust. And his feeling was not good. So obviously the woman was enjoying her dessert, but the man was not enjoying it. So the man at the other table nearby was noticing this, and he was ready to order his dessert himself. So he decided he had better find what the man was eating and the woman was eating, so he could be sure that he would want to avoid what the man was eating, and he would like to take what the wife was eating. So he called up the waiter and said, "Waiter, can you tell me what desserts the man and the woman at the table ordered? I want to order the same dessert that she has." The waiter looked at the man with a surprise and said, "But sir, they are both having the same dessert." So this illustrates many of us like Christians. You know that? And every believer, me and you, so to speak, are having the same dessert. The same spiritual blessing. The good things that Christ has given us. But not all of us are enjoying these blessings. You know that? Some Christians plunge into these spiritual delicacies with delight and gusto and excitement. In the terminology of Scripture, they are pursuing Christ with all of their mind, with all of their strength, with all of their heart. That's what the Bible says. And you can see the joy and the excitement in their faces because they have an intimate relationship with Christ. On the other hand, some believers are not getting much from the walk with Christ. They are scowling their walk with Christ. I don't know if you know what that word scowling means. All right? Like murmuring, you don't enjoy it, okay? So they do not have the joy, the fervor, the excitement of serving the Lord. Now the problem is not the dessert. The problem is internal, how we enjoy the spiritual food that God has for us. So this morning, as I am speaking this message to me and to you, my purpose is to stimulate your appetite for Christ. Amen? So that after you leave this service, you will have good taste about the Lord and a smile on your face. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will use His Word. Amen? To open your life to the sweetness that we have in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. For indeed, God has been good to us. Indeed, there are blessings that God has prepared for us. The Bible says in the Scripture that we read this morning, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Can you say that to your neighbor? The Lord is good. All the time, the Lord is good. And David said, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. There is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16, verse 11. So when you have Christ in your life, you will not want anything else. You know that? You will not want the things of this world, because all of the things of this world are temporary. They are not satisfying. So this morning, I would like to focus on three things. Number one, the totality of our need for Christ. And Jesus says in verse 5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this is one of the most critical statements that you will ever see in the Bible. Statements. And here, Jesus established two things Number one, the totality of our inability to do anything in our own power apart from the power of Christ in our lives. But on the other hand, with Christ, He's offering us provision, every provision that we will ever need. And that's what the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Now, it is one thing to read or hear these words, apart from me, you can do nothing. But it is another thing to believe them and to live as you believe them, as if you believe them. I mean, these are words that will come to our mind, and you know, it seems that they're just words. But do you really believe it? Do you live as if you really believe it? Well, plainly stated, a lot of Christians, including you and me, many times don't believe this thing. We don't believe that we can accomplish nothing apart from Christ. We may nod in agreement when you hear this passage read in the church, and then we go back at home and continuing our what? Do-it-yourself brand of Christianity. Right? We may believe that some Christians can do nothing without Christ. Or this may be true to other Christians, but not us. You say to yourself, oh, I can do it on my own, right? In our deepest hearts, we don't believe that our attachment to Christ is absolute necessity. So we don't see our desperate need for Christ. You don't see it. That's why we don't abide in Him. We don't see that without Christ, we are nearly nothing. Why? Because in America, we have so many options. We have so many choices, right? If you got sick, what do? You go to the doctor. If you get hungry, what do? You go to the grocery, you go to McDonald's, instant food. When you don't have money, what do? Plastic money. American Express, Visa, MasterCard, and many times before we go to God, we go to these things first, which means that we really don't believe that we are totally dependent on Christ. And judging by some of the substitutes that some Christians turn for help when they have problems, what do? They turn to alcohol or drugs or even material things, and it is obvious that not everyone who claims to follow Jesus Christ really believes this statement that we are utterly powerless without Christ. So we have to put this in our hearts, that aside from Christ, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We are powerless. As my wife was telling this morning, our life doesn't belong to us. This young lady, what, 40 years old? She just not did wake up. So our life doesn't belong to us. We are nothing aside from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at further at this text that we are looking at. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, it means He's the genuine vine, not a counterfeit, not a false vine. And the Bible, of course, says that He is the only Savior. He is the only way. He is the only truth. And He is the only life. And the Bible says there is no name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Satan is the counterfeit. Satan is the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Then he says, my Father is the gardener. God the Father is the one who planted Christ and is the one who waters and feeds on the vine. And Jesus acknowledged this himself when he said, I only do what I see the Father does. That's what he said. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. That's what he said. Now, who are these branches? Well, these branches are us. These branches are men. That's what Jesus said. I am the vine in verse 5. You are the branches. Now, note how these branches are judged. They are judged by their what? How they relate to the vine. These branches are either unfruitful or fruitful. These branches are either attached or unattached. See that? And if you want a visible demonstration of what Jesus meant when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing, try an experiment. Go to your backyard and clip off some trees or fruit trees or branches or a grapevine, if you have a grapevine in your backyard, and lay it on your back porch and patch it, right? What you do with that cut branches? You put it in the sunshine, you water it every day, and what happened? Then watch, see whether in due time it will bear fruit or it withers. You will know what happens. Of course it will wither because it's not connected to the vine. And that's the illustration that Jesus is telling us in verses 2 and verse 6 when he said he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And in verse 6, it says, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, who are these unfruitful branches that are cut off? You know that these branches were attached initially. But you will discover that there's one problem. They did not bear any fruit. And spiritually speaking, they did become attached to Christ at one time. There was a time when they began to bud and sprout and even grow branches. Spiritually speaking, they listened to the gospel, they listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, they opened their ears, they made a profession, probably they were baptized, and they seemed capable of bearing fruit, but they did not bear fruit. So what does this mean? What happens? I believe that these are people who do not relate enough to Christ. Merong kaunting Kristiyano pero hindi buong Kristiyano. Kristiyano sa nguso, pero sin the puso. You got that? Right? They do not draw enough nourishment from Jesus Christ to draw life, to bear fruit, and continue in the vine. And they are not genuine enough to bear fruit. Their profession is more of profession than possession. More pretending than being. More deception than truth. More counterfeit than real. Now, I'm not talking about you now because I believe all of us are real Christians. Amen. Amen? Amen? But if you are not, I'm speaking to you today. Because you can fake it. You can fake being a Christian. You can play church. You can say the right words. You can pray the right prayer. But in due time, the fruit will show. Because Jesus said, by their fruit, you shall know them. Sooner or later, the fruit in your life will show. And you cannot deceive God, and you cannot deceive other people. Amen? And these people, the Bible says they become apostates and deserters. They abandon the faith. Remember the sower of, the parable of the sower? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, the seed among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, making it unfruitful. These people heard the gospel, right? They professed. They may have prayed a prayer, a sinner's prayer. But the Bible says the deceitfulness of riches, the things of this world, the cares of this world, choked the word, and they became unfruitful. And Titus 1:16 says this, they claim to know God, but their actions, they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for doing anything good. Again, I don't believe that any of us are here like that. Can you say amen? Amen. All right? But this is a warning to professing Christians who don't bear fruit. This is a warning to all of us. So what happens to those unfruitful branches? Well, it says he cuts them off, which means what? To remove and to take away. Now, I believe the scripture tells us at least two things about the judgment of an unfruitful branch that is sinning. First, they are taken away and removed from the vine and destroyed by fire. That's what John the Baptist said when the Pharisees and the people were coming to him. What did he say? The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce fruit, good fruit, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Boy, these are warning signs to all of us if we don't bear fruit. And the Apostle John says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, of those who abandon the faith, he says this, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Now, secondly, a branch that is not fruitful and is sinning. And who are the branches again? Us, men. The Bible says they will be severely chastened and even disciplined. And sometimes they experience premature death. And we read that, we see this all the time when we go to the Lord, up to the communion table, because there's a warning there for all of us. It says here, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. The word fallen asleep here is they have died prematurely. See, if you take the communion table without really living a life that is pleasing to the Lord and forgiving a spirit, you're committing sin. I believe all these things. There's a warning to us that if you do that, you might experience sickness. He says it. Some of you are weak or sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. This discipline. Now, Paul also said to the church in Corinth regarding a sinning brother. And if you look at chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, there's a brother there who was sinning. And his sin was not so much, even the Gentiles don't commit it. This brother, the supposed to be brother, was living in relationship with his stepmother. And Paul said, hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to deliver a Christian over to Satan? Well, when a Christian is in fellowship with God and in fellowship with the church, the Bible talks or he enjoys a special protection from Satan. You remember Job? The Bible says that God put a hedge of protection around him every day. And we as Christians, believers, if we abide in the Lord, we enjoy that special protection from Satan. But when the brother or sister is out of fellowship with God and excommunicated from the church, he's a fair game for the devil. And in that instance, God would permit Satan to attack the offender's body, the flesh. Could be that the person who is committing this sin will get sick, attack his body, so that the sinning brother or sister would repent, what? And return to the Lord, so that on the day of the Lord when he comes, he will be saved. Amen? That's a warning to all of us. So we need to be what? Attached to the vine. Amen? You and I will get nowhere in our Christian lives unless we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you see an apple tree loaded with fruits hanging, you know, ready for harvest, you understand that the tree is not this whole story. The tree that you see is not the whole story. Because the explanation for the apple tree's productivity lies underground, below the ground, in the root system that, while it may be invisible to us, is supporting the tree and supplying it with nutrients it needs. So without that invisible connection with the root system, all right, that tree will not be able to grow and bear fruit. So similarly, in our relationship with Christ, amen, our greatest need in life is not what we can see, but what we cannot see. Our vital attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So unless we abide in Christ, unless our invisible relationship with Christ is solid and is strong and growing, right? As the branches attached to the vine, our visible life will be in a mess. So we need to abide in Christ. Amen. And the next point I would like to point now, the necessity of abiding in Christ. It is necessary that all of us abide in Christ. Now, people in the world don't want to hear that thing, right? They don't want to hear about their inability to do anything. They want to move out, not abide. That is why those self-help advertisements about taking chance, getting rich on your own, be a self-made man, are so popular. Because the world defines success in terms of what? Power, strength, ability, and even status. But for us Christians, the key to success is fruitfulness. We call it fruitfulness. The key to fruitfulness is not achieving, but abiding. Is not performing, but abiding. That's what Jesus said. If you remain in me, what did he say? You will bear much fruit. On the other hand, Jesus says in verse 6, If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire, are burned. And that's what happened to believers who are severed from intimate relationship with Christ. Have you ever felt dry in your walk with Christ? Who has? I have. Many times. And what do when we do that? Go back to the Lord. Amen. And sometimes we feel distant from the Lord. And why are we dry? We are dry spiritually because we have forgotten how much we need Christ. We have forgotten that we need Him every day. We have forgotten that apart from Him, we don't have anything. We cannot do anything. And as a result, we are not really abiding in Him. Now, what is the key to fruitfulness in a Christian life? Number one is pruning. Pruning. Anong pruning? Huh? Cutting? Patayin. Sabi ka, patayin. I mean, not killing the body. But anyway, pruning. Jesus said, verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, the gardener, what does he do? He cuts away the dead branches, the dead wood that can breed disease and insects, and he also cut away the bad spots or those misdirected branches or shoots, useless buds, so that what? The life of the vine is not dissipated, right? And quality of the crop is not jeopardized. In the same way, we as believers also have dead wood sa buhay natin. Dead branches, right? That can cause a trouble. Also, we have bad spots, misdirected shoots, right? That steal the vigor, the spiritual nutrition that we receive from the Lord. And what are some of these things in our lives that need to be pruned? Bad attitude. Ano pa? Marami. Works of the flesh. Wrong motives. Evil desires. Lack or half-hearted commitment. Ungodly relationships. Worldliness. Apathy, complacency in serving the Lord. You can mention other things. All of these things need to be removed and pruned from us. And what is the purpose of pruning? It says here to prepare the branch to bear much fruit so that we can bear more fruit. And of course, there are different stages or degrees of fruit bearing. And not all of us are 100%, right? Some are 60%. Some are bearing 30%. Because we have degrees of commitment and degrees of dedication, right? But what God's desire for us is we're fruitful. Amen. And how are the fruitful branches pruned and cleansed? How? It says it in verse 3, by the word of God. Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And Jesus said also in John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. And Psalms 119:11 says, the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So when we are faced with the Word of God reveals to us. What does it reveal to us? What we are doing, what we are not doing, are they consistent with the will of God? The Word of God reveals to us where we have fallen, how we have fallen, the sins that we have committed, the sins that we have omitted. The Word of God is like a mirror that reflects our shortcomings in comparison to the perfection of Christ. And when we repent and put our faith in Christ, we receive His forgiveness and cleansing. That's why Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken unto you." Amen. If you receive that word of God and apply it in your heart, in your life, then the Bible says you are clean through the word. Now, another way that God uses to prune you and me is through what? Problems and troubles. You like problems and troubles? We don't want it, but it's necessary. In fact, God depends more on circumstances to make us like Jesus more than the Word of God. Why? Because the reason is obvious. We face circumstances 24 hours a day. Life is a series of problems. Every time you solve one, another one is taking its place. Right? But whether your problems are big or small, God uses His problems in maturing you, in growing you, in pruning you. So don't run away from problems. In fact, we have to expect it, because the Apostle Peter reminds us that problems are normal in the Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Why? Because God wants to test our faith, whether are genuine or fake or colorum. Huh? He wants to test that faith. He wants your faith to be what? Like a gold that doesn't perish. Amen? Now, the word pruning means what? Of course, cutting, right? If you are cut, masakit, right? It means pain. You've heard the saying, no pain, no gain, right? Yet, yes, pruning hurts, but it also helps. We may not enjoy it, but we need it. You may not enjoy it, but you need it. I need it. You need it. And what is the result of being pruned by the Lord, being disciplined by the Lord? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 to 11 says, "God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His," what? "Holiness." Now, discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces the harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So he's talking about being more godly. It will produce in you what? The fruit of holiness, that you will share in the holiness of God, because the Bible says, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. And God is preparing a what? Spotless bride, ready for His coming. Amen? You know what? Problems also draw us closer to the Lord. You know that? The Bible says in Psalms 34, 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." How does God develop brokenheartedness in us? Through problems, through trials. Rick Warren said this, "Your most profound and intimate experiences of worship will likely be in your darkest days, when your heart is broken, when you feel abandoned, when you're run out of options, when the pain is great, and you turn to God alone. It is during pain and suffering that we learn to pray our most authentic, heartfelt, honest to God prayers. Did you get that? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen. You know why? Because God wants a relationship with Him, not only superficial, but talagang deep. Deep relationship, deep intimacy. And that can only come through brokenness. Brokenness. Amen. Well, the second way God can make us fruitful is, of course, abiding. What does abide mean? It means to stay, remain in Christ. This concept of abiding is to maintain an intimate relationship with Christ. And Christ is inviting us. And He said that if you abide in Him, He says here, that what? We can do anything. And Christians find it harder to abide than they do to perform. Because why? We're performance driven. We like to get stuff done. But performance without intimacy does not work in settings that are designed for relationships such as marriage. That's why some marriages fail because the husband is busy making a living without making a life. Busy earning money, but there's no intimacy in that relationship. And that relationship becomes cold. So in the same way, it is possible to perform for Christ, yet you're not really, does not know Christ. And of course, the illustration that we have in the Bible is the situation of the older brother of the prodigal son. And we see that in the Luke chapter 15, the prodigal, the younger son, was definitely what? Failed to abide in his father's house and his father's love, because the Bible says he went to a distant country and wasted his money on loose living. And when the prodigal son got sick of himself, the Bible says he came to his senses. And he said, I'll go back to my father. So he reconnected to the father. But his older brother got very upset that the father had welcomed his younger brother and restored him to intimate fellowship. And you know what? The older brother was there all the time. But he did never have an intimate relationship with the father. And you know what he said to his father? He said, for many years I've been serving you. He treated himself not as a son, but a servant. I've been serving you. I've never neglected a command of yours. Yet you have never given me a kid that I might be married with my friends. And you know what the father said? My son, he said, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You know what the father is saying to his older son? He was saying, son, you could have had a party with me anytime, but you never wanted it. You've been around here all these years and you have taken our relationship for granted. I've been waiting for you to need me, but you never have. But your brother needs me and he realizes he needs me. He wants an intimate relationship with me. See that? You can perform for the Lord without really having an intimate relationship with Him. Amen? Of course, there's room for performance. We have to do things for the Lord and do service, but we should not sacrifice our abiding in Him. Amen? And the last point is what? The benefits of abiding in Christ. The benefits. There are benefits in serving the Lord. There are benefits in loving Christ. Amen. There are benefits. in pursuing Christ. And what are these benefits? I mentioned already, fruitfulness. Verse 2 says, more fruit. Verse 5 says, much fruit. And in verse 6 it says, fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. We want our fruit to last. Amen. Our fruit in the lives of our children will last so that as they grow up, the impact that we had in their lives will not be forgotten and will last from a generation to generation. Amen. What are the kind of fruits that we bear? Number one, the Bible says the fruit of righteousness, being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What is the fruit of righteousness? The salvation, changed life. Amen. There has to be change in our lives. That's what the Bible says. If any man is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a change in our lives. Fruit of righteousness. If you were unrighteous before, now you are righteous. Because God has made you righteous through Christ. Amen? But not only that, you are righteous because the Holy Spirit is in you, right, helping you to live a righteous life. So kung magnanakaw ka noon, ngayon, di ka na magnanakaw. That's what I'm saying. Righteously, right? If you were a cheater before, now you don't cheat. And people change life. All right, number two, godly character. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. These are godly character. And number three, converts. There'll be more souls getting saved through your testimony and witness. The more you abide in Christ, the more you have Christ's love and heart. And God's heart, Christ's heart, is what? To save people. God wants to save people. That's what the Bible says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when you have Christ in you, you have that burden, you have that love for people. You want to share them the love of Christ. You share them your testimony. And when they see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, they will want what you have. And they say, give me the thing that you have in your life. I want to have that. Amen. And they have the desire to know more of God. They acknowledge that only God can do such thing in your life. And what do? They will begin to search for God and want God's help in their lives also. I remember of a brother who is now with the Lord. He said, he was a Baptist preacher, a layman preacher. And when he got saved, he was witnessing. But when he got on fire with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, he said, in 1 year, 100 people got saved through his testimonies. Marami sa atin, kahit isa wala na saved pa. All right? It's a challenge. But if you abide in Christ, you will have that burden. You will have that compassion for people. And as Paul says, because of the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And it says, the love of God constrains me, he said. Constrains me to share the gospel. You know what? If you abide in Christ, you'll be a good witness. You'll be an effective witness. Amen? And when you're fruitful, you know what Jesus said? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you're a fruit-bearing Christian, God is glorified in your life. Amen. And this is a proof that you are His disciple. Fruitfulness. Number two, answered prayer. Look at what Jesus promised to those who abide in Him. If you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 7. So the power of the abider is the power of answered prayer. There's no greater power that is available for us in this life than the ability to take our request to God and see Him work in our life. Without God, we cannot do anything. But on the other side, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible to them who believe. And Paul says, we can do all things through Christ because He has strengthened us. Another benefit of abiding in Christ is guidance. Christ's guidance. If you are confused, you don't know what to do, this is the formula. Just abide in Christ. Jesus said, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. And I like David who said in Psalms 32, verse 8, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with My loving eye upon you. That's what God's promise. I want to repeat that. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with My loving eye on you. That's beautiful. And in Psalms 25, verse 12, it says here, the psalmist says, who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Chosen for him. Wonderful. And of course, God's Christ's provision. You know, the vine is always nourishing the branch, always sending its life-giving food and drink to the branch. So it's our relationship with Christ. Jesus Christ is the vine, and the vine is always giving us that nourishment, that life-giving food and drink that we need. And so that our needs are met and our prayers are answered as we abide in Him. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The lions may grow and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lacks no good thing. Amen. And David also said, I was young and now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. And God will meet all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. I heard about the testimony of Tony Evans. Tony Evans is a famous preacher in Dallas, a big church, urban alternative. He's on radio in Moody all the time, every day. And he said this. He went to Lagos, Nigeria, to minister and preach. And he ministered to several churches. And some of these churches would number, 60,000 people? And one day, when he was there in Lagos, Nigeria, there was no gasoline available in the city. On top of that, there was no... there was storm, and a big storm with terrible thunder and lightning. And he assumed that since there was no gas and there was bad weather, that would equal an empty church. Right? He was thinking like an American. Because America, if the weather is bad, they don't go to church. Not you. Not us, right? He was thinking like American, he said. But when he got to the church, there were 10,000 people waiting in the service. And the pastor of the church told him that people had to walk 2 to 3 hours to get there. Sunday school started at 7:30. 7:30 Sunday school? Huh? Alas, just nagreklamo na tayo. 7:30 Sunday school. And the service start at 8:30. And 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they were still going in the service. Huh? Sabi niya, it was an incredible atmosphere of worship and celebration. They would celebrate and praise for a while, then they go to prayer, then they will celebrate again, they will dance in the Lord. And he preached 2 sermons. And the people would not go home. But during the service, this is what he said. There were ushers who walked up and down the aisle with sticks, looking for people who were nodding off. I think we should do that. And what do these ushers do? They would poke anyone who was sleeping. And he said, after 5 hours, all right, 2 sermons, praise and worship, they were still going. Why? Because they're hungry for God. They're hungry for God. And you know what the pastor said to Tony Evans? He said, things are a lot different here than in the States. We need God. If God does not show up, we are devastated people. That's what he said. You see, our people are relying on God daily for bread. Most of them don't have refrigerators. They live one day at a time. There is such a desperate need for God here that every time there is opportunity to come to face with him in his presence, our people take advantage of it. Our church does not have to compete with TV, sports, and all the other things you have to compete in America. We need God here, and we see one miracle after another. We see him intervene supernatural because we need him. Amen? Are we that desperate for him day by day? And Tony Evans says there was authentic display of Christianity in action. A baby had been left at the doorstep of the church, presumably by a mother who could not take care for a child. But immediately, the baby had a father and a mother because the family of God took over. See that? There was such passion for God that this life was held precious. Are we desperate for the Lord? Do we need Christ? So I just conclude this message. I need to ask myself and to ask you 2 questions. Number one, the first question is whether we really believe that we're helpless and cut off apart from Christ. Do you really believe that? Or just thing that we hear, but we don't really believe it? Or are we trusting in our finances, our abilities, our jobs, our strength to live the Christian life? But you know what? If you really believe that without Christ you cannot do anything, it will change your life. It will change your priorities. How you handle your time, how you handle your money, how you handle your relationship. It will change radically, radically. And of course, the other question is, are you doing things for the Lord out of duty or out of a sense of intimacy because you want to enjoy
the Lord's presence.
Amen. Realizing that without Him, you cannot do anything. So my desire is that you and me, right, might learn to what? Abide in Christ. And how do we do that? By making time in His presence so that we can learn His will, we can hear His voice, and understand what He's saying to us. That kind of abiding does not happen once. It has to be a day-by-day habit. Amen? When you come to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm desperate for You. Without You, I cannot do anything. And sometimes God allows problems for you to do that. Amen? When we are out of options, when we don't have anybody to turn to except God. And that's what we need, folks. And once you grasp, and I grasp how total our need for Christ is, then the desire and commitment to abide in Him will be there. Amen? Let's stand up together.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled Needing Christ. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Barrett Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC, that's 3392. You can find us online on our website, ffwcchicago.com. You can also email us at contactus@ffwcchicago.com. And I will see you guys next week. Take care and God bless. Bye.